Good afternoon, and thanks so much for tuning in to KKCR, the station that loves you's fantastic show from Els Bells and Shoots. And right now, coming up, we've got Out of the Box Shoots. I got a great show for you today. Going to follow up on some of the stories we did last week with the Kauai Humane Society, and then also big happenings on the Sacred Mountain. So stay tuned for Out of the Box at KKCR. And this show is brought to you in part by people just like you who make a fine, fine practice of donating to the station, investing in your opportunity to build community, which without you, we would not be able to do this. Thanks also to Kalaheo Chiropractic, and yeah, Out of the Box.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
So, Out of the Box is a call-in community forum available for you to speak what's on your mind and what's on your heart and to find out what's going on around the island, across the archipelago, and around the world. Because everyone gets to say what they want to say, we say this.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right. And we have a caller who's been standing by. Going to go right to Basil Scott. Are you there with us, Mr. Scott? Aloha, caller. Are you there?
I am here.
Ah, fantastic. On the line with me right now is Basil Scott. And you're one of the organizers on the island of a cat rescue program. But you've also been very involved in the recent turmoil and trying to find answers to what's been going on at the Kauai Humane Society. You were on the show a couple weeks ago along with a couple of employees of the Kauai Humane Society, and I wanted to give you a chance to come back on the air and give listeners an update on just exactly what's happened in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate this chance to talk a lot. So probably the biggest news is that the two employees who were on the air were fired on Monday, and not exactly as a result of that, but partially there was a small sign-waving demonstration in front of Kauai Humane on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, well, I think listeners also who are familiar with the Garden Island newspaper, there was a story in there covering that action.
Yeah, and that was about, of course, support for the two, Mona and Brandy, who were fired, but also just to draw attention to some of the larger issues that they have tried to expose and get public.
Yeah, maybe you could reiterate what is the major concern at the Kauai Humane Society?
I think just right off the bat, it's quality management. This is absolutely a tough job, and the person who holds the leadership position needs to be an outstanding leader. And in spite of a super effective job by the board of circling the wagons and stating and restating that, you know, they've got it and not to worry, there's clearly some issues when about 30% of the employees are, you know, signing a petition and putting their jobs at risk. Saying that not just that they're unhappy, but advocating that the leader leave and that they need change.
And in part, this is because of management challenges, but also concern for the general welfare of the animals that are coming into the Humane Society. It's my understanding from the statistics that you presented a couple of weeks ago that of all the animals that come in to the Humane Society, more than half of them are being euthanized or killed and then going up in smoke rather than being adopted out to loving families.
That's correct. And Emily LaRock wrote a long piece in the newspaper in the TGI, I think yesterday, talking about the programs that Kauai Humane has. and they have good programs. I think the concern is that the brakes were put on many of those programs in the last 2 years. So instead of seeing these good ideas accelerate, there was resistance or actually shut down. The one statistic I keep talking about is that in the last 6 years, we have 2 years of Penny as leadership, and then before that, I think there were three in all. In those prior 4 years, an average of over 1,100 animals were adopted out every year. But in the last 2 years, it's an average of around 820.
So that's a decrease of about, what, 25%?
About 30%. 30%? So very, very substantial. And I think it helps give insight into what the employees are facing. Adopting an animal out is a very happy thing, and when that part of the business goes down a lot, then the bad part starts to outweigh the good part, and there's a lot.
Well, in part, it could be because of the executive director's focus on the bottom line rather than animal welfare, and having it be a goal of animals leave the facility alive.
Yes, I think this job's got to balance three things. It's got to balance financial, the animal control officer responsibility, and then let's call it the humane rescue mission. And it is that balancing act that really needs to be done well. So I think too much focus on, well, first of all, I think sort of part of the solution is an effective split between the animal control officer, that responsibility, which is given by the county contract with Kauai Humane.
And that's to go out and pick up stray or feral animals.
Yes, yeah, stray dogs, stray cats, feral cats, also animal abuse cases, other issues. They are responsible for the barking dog ordinance, for example, for enforcing that. So I think that that part of the mission, you have to have a split. Now, here's what's interesting is that the county contract calls for that split. It says that, no employee shall be employed doing both things, basically. Either an employee charges 100% of their time to the county contract or zero, period, and end of discussion. So what I believe is the case is that that's not the case. And I think even more troubling is that because Penny herself is an ACO, that may be, and that's an animal control certified officer.
And just so that the listener is clear, Penny is Penny Sestaro, who is the executive director, the present director of the Kauai Humane Society.
Yeah, so I think maybe the boat shifted a little bit too far toward that direction, and I think that's something that that this division, which is contractually mandated, has to be mission very well constructed with mission separation as well. And I think in their management structure, it's not clear that that's the case.
Well, it seems like in an endeavor like the Kauai Humane Society, there's a lot of moving parts. It's a fairly complicated operation. But I think the bottom line that's broadly held by many people is they just don't want to see so many animals being killed. One of the things that's really wonderful about having an animal in your life is the ability that your relationship to that animal can help bring out some of the most wonderful qualities of us human beings: compassion, respect, love. And when instead of that happening, you just have all these animals being euthanized and cremated, well, something's really not quite right with that picture. So how do we fix all that?
Yeah, first of all, I would just say that I believe that picture is a real picture. I don't think that these euthanasia decisions are driven by absolute necessity. I think they were financially driven. One concern I had is that in reviewing tax returns for the last 6 years and seeing how the monies were allocated, it's very clear that they did not support that mission as a first priority. And you can see that by how they expended programs.
Sure. Well, it's really easy to balance the books on the bodies of dead animals because you don't have to feed them, you don't have to care for them, and you don't have overcrowded kennel facilities.
Right. So let's you suggested that we talk about how do we move forward and how do we
because trying to correct policy aberrations like this on the radio is a challenging thing, because you know you and your group are calling out what you feel is inappropriate behavior and inappropriate policy and inappropriate action by the executive director. And so what are the mechanisms to correct that?
So I think the first and foremost is we need, it's got to be more open, where there's real and honest communication. So the board itself, you know, I would love it if the board would say, yes, we know there are some issues. I would love to hear somebody address some of the legal questions that have come up, both contractual compliance and county ordinance compliance. So I think getting open so that people can trust, hey, this is a real functioning board, they're hearing the issues, and we can see in a way that respects employee privacy and so forth, but we can see that real progress is being made.
So it sounds like you're asking people to step up and help try and make right what seem to be some very disturbing conditions.
Yes, and I also think that, you know, Kauai is the only island where it is mandated in state law that the animal control contract must be with this one particular animal welfare organization. So it kind of enforces a large monopoly structure, and that's probably not good. So I think the county should do an audit. I think it should be not just a financial audit, but it should look at the operations, the structure, and all aspects of how we do animal control, and get down to fundamental questions like maybe we should completely split the animal control officer and humane groups.
What is the mission of the Kauai Humane Society?
That's a great question, and from their website it says, the Kauai Humane Society is dedicated to ensuring compassionate, informed care of all Kauai's animals and promoting the human-animal bond. I think to do that mission...
That seems like an admirable mission.
It's a very good mission. And let's think about what it requires. The number one thing it requires is trust from the community. If community trust breaks down, people stop bringing in their animals, for example, to be spayed or neutered.
Well, and yeah, for sure. And, you know, right here in front of me is a notice of a lost dog in Kilauea Town. It's a small white dog with black spots, less than a year old, so it's kind of a puppy. And Catherine, whose telephone number is 639-8744, would really like to get her dog back. He's got a collar and he's got ID, and his name is Laka. So I'm sure Catherine would like to have her dog back. I'm sure Catherine would be very disturbed if she found out that the Kauai Humane Society picked up her puppy and then euthanized it before she could even find out where it was.
Yeah, and, you know, this could happen. So we don't want that to happen. In any case, I think probably the board has been around for a long time, and so it might be time for some fresh blood on the board. That's something I would throw out there. I think that would be a great step. And I think the county probably needs to get involved at this point. I think a county audit would be highly appropriate. And I think the county might need to look at setting up a ombudsman kind of process where people would have an independent complaint mechanism. And maybe even a semi-annual reporting. I know the Humane Society reports already to the county council, but that might need to be beefed up a little bit through the Department of Finance. So there's a mix, I think, of very specific things, but on the broader level, it's about establishing trust and opening up the process.
Well, if folks who are listening right now want to get involved and find out how they can do more, what's a good contact information for you?
Okay, I'm kind of afraid to get that, but contact information for me, I'll give my email.
Or who would you direct them to?
I would, I would direct them to Kauai Coalition for Animals. and that's a .org, Kauai Coalition for Animals. It's just all one long word. www.KauaiCoalitionForAnimals.
Is that F-O-R or is that the number four?
That's F-O-R.
Animals with an S?
So let me just type it in out, though. It's like Kauai Coalition for Animals, and it's .com.
Okay.
So I misspoke, and it's just one long word, Kauai Coalition, F-O-R, not the number four, animals with S.
Okay. And then, so that's a way people can get involved if they want to help out the animals. What about Brandy Varvel and Mona Brown, the two now former employees who were terminated after they came on KKCR and spoke about some of their concerns?
Yeah, there's actually someone now has set up a website. It's a GoFundMe website. So that's www.gofundme, all one word, .com. And then you do the backslash, and it's KHS-whistleblowers.
So that's for Kauai Humane Society Whistleblowers, KHS Whistleblowers.
Yeah, but it's KHS-dash, a little dash symbol in there, Whistleblowers.
Okay.
And that'll get you, then you can make a donation, you know, $5, $50, hey, $500 if you got the cash.
Well, I mean, you know, like those people put their livelihoods on the line, and then they are facing the consequences.
Yeah, and a lot of people have said, you know, that, well, this is just some kind of personality conflict. You don't put your livelihood on the line for personality conflict. You know, my parting shot would be I have huge respect for these two employees because they stepped forward when most people won't, and that's always a tough decision.
Well, Basil Scott, president of the Kauai Community Cat Project, I want to thank you for calling in and giving an update on what's up with the Kauai Humane Society.
Well, thank you very much, Jonathan, and I guess we'll keep in touch from time to time on this thing.
Yes, and if new events come up, please don't hesitate to contact me, and we'll see what else we can do.
Okay, sure. Appreciate the airtime.
All right. Hey, you're very welcome. And, folks, if you have any questions about the Kauai Humane Society, please do call in at 826-7771. We're going to go to a little bit music break and then come back in a few minutes with events on the Mauna Kea and the TMT. Got it tuned to KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. Thanks so much for sharing your afternoon with us here at the station who loves you. Station who loves you? Station that loves you? We all love you. This is Out of the Box. I'm your host for this afternoon, Jonathan Jay. And I want to spend most of the next hour and a half talking about the events taking place on Mauna Kea. And for folks who don't know, Mauna Kea is the taller of the two very gigantic volcanoes over on Big Island. They're each just under 14,000 feet tall above the surface of the ocean. but these mountains are actually the two tallest mountains on the entire planet because they go all the way down to the bottom of the ocean, which is 20,000 feet below. So each of these twin volcanoes are 10,000 meters in height, which is, you know, that's like over 6 miles, over 6.5 miles tall. So it's an amazing part of the planet that we live on, and events happening there over the past, oh, I guess like 40, 50 years or so, have been increasingly troubling to a lot of people. Those mountains are really unique in the world, and they are in a very special place because as we're located so closely to the equator and in the center of the largest body of water in the world, the isolation and the clarity and the smoothness, the calmness of the atmosphere on the skies above these mountains is so still and so calm and so clear and so dry and so dark that there is virtually no other place on the planet where it is more desirable to be, to look into the heavens, to the stars, the skies, the universe around us, because the seeing conditions there are better than anywhere else in the world. And the Western scientist who first cottoned on to this idea was a man named Gerhard Kuiper. He's a Dutch astronomer. He's considered by many to be the father of modern planetary astronomy. He was the fella who first theorized that in addition to the asteroid belt, that rocky ring of debris in sort of the inner solar system, that there was sort of a parallel a cluster of snowy, icy water, frozen water objects in the outer solar system. And the first one of those was discovered was Pluto back in the 1930s. But in the last, about 25 years or so, many of them being discovered from observatories on top of Mauna Kea, they discovered more and more. And now scientists, astronomers have discovered more than 1,000 different small icy bodies, giant snowballs out there beyond the orbits of Neptune and Pluto. And it's a whole family of icy bodies. And that group of bodies in the solar system is called the Kuiper Belt, named after Gerhard Kuiper. He was the first Western astronomer who thought, hey, you know what? I bet you seeing conditions on top of this mountain are better than anywhere else in the world. And over the last 40 years, the international astronomical community has spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and they've built facility after facility after facility on top of the mountain, so much so that there's no more room left on top of the mountain. But they have been able to confirm, with hundreds and thousands of observation hours, that there really is no better place on the planet to see the outside universe. And what's really amazing about that is that the Hawaiian people knew that 1,000 years ago. You know, so here's another example of Western science catching up to what the Polynesian scientists, the keen observers of natural phenomena that were the Polynesian people, that are the Polynesian people, whose culture is still alive, still present, still thriving, they already knew that 1,000 years ago. So in the last 10 years or so, with science and technology and big money all teaming together to create a new thing called big science, they have schemes to create a gigantic telescope. Some of the telescopes that are up on top of Mauna Kea right now are already the largest telescopes in the world. They're like 30, 35 feet in diameter, really big. I mean, that's a very wide diameter telescope. But this new telescope is, they call it the TMT. That's a shorthand for the 30-meter telescope. And that's not 30 feet across. That's 100 feet across. A meter is a little bit more than a yard. So this new proposed telescope has its light gathering capacity is 1.5 times the size of an NBA basketball court. And in order to house this gigantic mirror, in fact, the mirror is so big it's not even one piece of mirror. It's 492 5.5-foot hexagons that are all honeycombed together in a gigantic mosaic and kind of configured into this big virtual dish that's 100 feet in diameter. The building to house that is 18 stories tall and a two-story foundation. So in order to create the foundation that this gigantic facility would rest on, they have to dig down 23 feet into the summit of Mauna Kea, which, you know, you're not going to do that with an OO bar. And one of the lease requirements for any kind of activity on top of the mountain is that you have to be able to restore it to its pristine condition after you're done up there. Well, as Lana Kila Manguel pointed out, the astronomical community, this consortium of scientists and administrators, science administrators, they are not Pele. They cannot make lava. So you can't fill up a hole that you blast in the top of a mountain if you can't restore the original lava that made it in the first place. So many, many people who have been paying attention to this are increasingly disturbed by the idea that people want to go ahead with this $1.4 billion science observation facility. And they worked with the state of Hawaii, but the state of Hawaii gave the lease to the University of Hawaii through the DLNR, and it's kind of a little shell game. And they've been leasing all this space out, which is sacred mountain peak, for $1 a year. And people have finally had enough is enough. All of the development projects that have taken place up on top of Mauna Kea since 1964, 68, when the first telescopes went up there, all of them have been protested. But well, the protests that we're seeing today are as big as the 30-meter telescope is big, or perhaps even bigger, because yesterday, for the third time in a row, the TMT tried to move forward with their construction plans, and they were met by hundreds of people who literally shut the road down again. This happened several months ago, back in April and May, when the TMT tried to begin for the first time, shut the road down. And their groundbreaking ceremonies were disrupted last year when Hawaiian cultural practitioners went up to the top, and instead of having like a cozy groundbreaking ceremony and receiving a Hawaiian blessing, instead the international funders, and they got a lecture on how sacred this place is and how it should not be desecrated. The funding institutions behind the TMT is the nation of Japan, China, India, Canada, Caltech, and the University of California. And, you know, folks said to them, hey, Mount Fuji, that's sacred to you. Go desecrate your own sacred mountain. Don't desecrate ours. Don't damage something that you can't repair. So it's really quite amazing to be a witness to people standing up to big, big, big money and the state and the police and saying, hey, you know what? Not gonna make a big scene here. Not gonna yell or scream and shout. Just gonna explain to you that what you're doing is a desecration of the natural environment. It destroys the very thing that our life is dependent upon, and it doesn't make any sense at all for you to scour the heavens in search of a world somewhere that might support life, if you're going to trample it here under your feet. So, today, hopefully, Pua Case will be calling in. She's one of the many articulate people who are standing up and trying to explain to Western civilization how backwards they have it. I was talking with a friend this afternoon, and he said, I thought this was really, get this quote correct here. He said he thought it was a massive misappropriation of thinking. We have some of the world's smartest people trying to figure out if they can find life on another planet somewhere else, which is, you know, a noble goal. It's a laudable effort. But can't you spend some of that brain power thinking about how we can survive here, how we can not be industrially polluting the atmosphere of the planet, adding carbon, increasing the heat-bearing capacity, the greenhouse effect, all of the industrial pollution, the pH of the ocean, the draining of the aquifers, the collapse of soil fertility. There's a lot of things going on here that smart people could do well to bring their attention to. And instead of talking about these challenges, these problems, we could be doing something about it. And instead of searching for intelligent life elsewhere on the planet, maybe we could search for intelligent life here on this planet. I think that I think that there's not quite enough of it. So I just wanted to sort of set that up, lay it out. I've taken a position. You're free to agree or disagree. Everyone's opinion is valid. If you have a very different worldview, please do call in at 826-7771. You will be listened to cordially. We will be able to have an exchange of ideas and perspective. I don't know what the right answers are. I know what I think. I know what I feel. And I'd be very interested to hear what you think and what you feel. The phones are open right now, and the number is 826-7771. Yesterday, as I was saying, there was several hundred people, somewhere between 400 and 800 people, perhaps as many as 1,000, on top of Mauna Kea. And there were 12 people who got arrested. We've got a caller calling in right now, but we'll pick that back up in a moment. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thanks so much for tuning in to Out of the Box and calling in this afternoon.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, caller.
I wanted to say something about the cat thing with the Humane Society. Can
sure.
I say that now? Or
go for it, yeah.
Okay. I just want to say this quickly, and I'm not saying euthanize animals or anything. I just want to point out some facts. And one fact is that the cats carry toxoplasmosis.
And what is that?
It's a disease. And it only reproduces in cats, okay?
Okay.
A lot of people have it, and it's been proven that sometimes it causes mental problems in people, among other things. It can cause various things. So it's a serious disease. Many people carry it and don't manifest symptoms, but on the other
hand. And what are the symptoms, or what does this disease do?
It can make you crazy, basically.
Like turn you into a cat lady?
No, well, I don't call that crazy. I'm not going to be mean like that.
Oh.
But I would
cat
say
woman?
It doesn't have anything to do with cats. It can lead to mental problems. Okay, weird behavior, psychotic behavior, and things like that. It's been proven. So I'll just say that, and I don't want to argue about it. You look it up on the internet. Just beyond that, chickens. The chickens should be exterminated. One of the reasons is because they feed the cats, okay? At least the little ones do. And so that's bad. And the chickens also carry other diseases. And in wildlife areas, the government tries to control them because of the other diseases they carry. So I'll just say those two things.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in and sharing your views.
Okay. And I'll just say something about – can I also say something about the telescopes and so on?
Absolutely.
As a scientist, I very much support
what they're doing as far as the research. Now, it is, I wish they would move them. That will require more funding because you build this new telescope somewhere else, that's fine, but also move the other ones. But it'll cost a lot of money. I wish we would spend that money rather than spend it on invading countries and so on.
Well, that's a pretty good point. I think that the funding for the removal and the restoration of the summit of Mauna Kea should rightfully come from the institutions that built their facilities there in the first place. Would you
yes.
agree with that?
I would agree with that, or it could come from the government, government, which state government especially, that leased this property probably unlawfully, or at least the price was pretty unlawful.
Well, yeah, the price is pretty crazy.
Price is crazy.
Because you're talking like, I mean, at this point we're talking about 40 or 50 bucks now.
Oh, too bad. I would say offer that lease to the people so that they can do what they want up there, and then also the party should pay for the restoration.
Well, so, thanks for calling in.
About it. It's also true that they have big facilities in Chile,
yep.
in a similar situation, that is up in the Andes.
Yeah, in the Atacama Desert.
Clear air and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say another thing is that there are a lot of other issues on the island, like barking fans and all kinds of things, and GMOs and Monsanto and all that too.
Yeah, well, that's.
I'd like to see some protests on that, especially barking fans.
And what would you want to protest there?
I'd protest the existence of that facility because it's what they do there is they pursue the anti-missile program, which is kind of a stupid program, but it costs a lot of money. And maybe how about we just close that base and devote some of that, a little bit of that money to doing the Mauna Kea stuff. You know, I'm kind of stupid but and an idealist, but that's just how I look at it.
I would agree with much of what you said, except for that you're a stupid part. That doesn't seem reasonable to me, not from anything I've heard so far.
Oh, I'm not saying anybody's stupid. I was saying I was stupid.
Yeah, no, that's the part I'm disagreeing with, because you don't sound very stupid to me.
No, I know too much, actually. It can be painful sometimes.
Well,
That's my bit, and thank you for listening.
Sure. You're very welcome. Please call again. The number to call here at Out of the Box is 826-7771. If you're interested in what we're talking about, or you have a comment or a question, I thank that last caller for his perspective. And I wanted to bring your attention to 12 people yesterday who got arrested on top of Mauna Kea. The very first person in the morning to get arrested was Ulysses Consegra. I apologize if I'm not saying his name correctly. But he was arrested early in the morning when the protest front line, I guess, the front line of the protectors was still on county property. As they slowly, and I mean slowly, backed up the hill, eventually at some point they came on to state jurisdiction. And then 11 more people were arrested. And that was Samuel Caeo, Andre Perez, Lorian Parizal, Joseph Alapai, Jean Tamashiro, Kaika Hassard, Hualalai, Kohakahi Kanuha, Michael Ann Trainer, Michelle Prevost, and Ka'apuni Ali'i Onalani Kie'e Aiwoha. No, excuse me, Aiwohi. So I just want to acknowledge those people for the efforts that they made yesterday. Everybody was arrested and booked and released on bail. I got all this information from Sergeant Kim over at the Hawaii County Police Department. It was extremely helpful on the phone. But it was kind of an amazing, it took me about 2.5 hours to find out who got arrested yesterday. It's public information, but you would not believe how many different parts of the Hawaii state and county government offices I had to call, because nobody seemed to know anything, nor did they know who would. So I want to send a big shout out and a big thank you to Sergeant Kim over at the Hawaii County Police Department. Did a great job. I really appreciate it. Super helpful. If you want to find out more about what's going on, or you have questions that you want to relate to Governor Ige or the DLNR or DoCare or the multitude, the real alphabet soup of different state and county agencies and departments, boy, have fun, because it's not a simple matter to try and wade through all that. Governor Ige did make a statement yesterday saying, in response to the renewed and ever larger protests that were there, that again construction for the TMT would be delayed, set aside. So it's called off for now, and they're trying to figure out what to do next. Got some callers calling in. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
I want to ask you what you know about the TTP, TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that they voted to. It's going to go to the full court press, the vote for a fast track. And so what did the Hawaiian representatives, like the senators and the congressmen from Hawaii, how did they vote, you know, in the primary they had for this upcoming, you know, congressional or whatever vote, however you want to call it, the Trans-Pacific Partnership? Fill me in. What do you know that I don't know?
Oh, well, I probably don't know anything that you don't know, because I know that you know a lot. But
I don't know. I don't know. I'm curious, the woman, what's the woman's name who's come to Kauai a bunch of times? She won a position in the Senate or something. You know what I mean? What's your name?
I'm actually drawing a blank right now.
Well, ask Felicia then. She'd know.
Okay, well, I can...
She's interviewed her, I think.
Okay, well, I can...
There's a woman from Kauai. I think she's from Kauai. She's a state senator or congresswoman. Sorry, I can't think of the name. I'm so curious if any of your callers know how she voted. I'd like to know. She's a Democrat. Anyway...
Are you talking about Tulsi Gabbard, maybe? All right, well, can't answer the question if you don't stick around. The numbers to call in here is 826-7771. The caller was talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a it's part of the legislative framework to create a global corporatocracy, a corporatopia, and it's sailing through the Senate and Congress right now. So, but we got another caller calling in. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to
Out
of the Box.
As far as I know, Tulsi Gabbard voted against the TPP. She was not for it.
Okay. And then, but the numbers were very strongly in support of it, all generally told. It was about 3 or 4 to 1, wasn't it?
You know, I don't know that information. All I know is I checked to see how she was voting, and that's how she was voting, so...
Yeah, and it's I don't know if they're voting yes or no on the treaty as it stands right now. I think that they are something called fast track, and that means that they're voting to take away their ability to make any amendments to the proposal.
Right. Which they just have to vote yes or no on it. That's it.
Which is really strange to me. I don't understand how a congressperson, they're legislative. That's all they do. Is make speeches and make amendments and vote on stuff. Like, if you ever watch C-SPAN, oh my God, that's all they do. So
yeah.
Why in the world would they take that power away from themselves? I mean, if they're not legislating, what are they?
Doesn't make sense.
No, it really doesn't.
As far as I know, it's mostly the mega corporations that have their hands in this one, you know, meeting and putting their time and energy into making it how they want it to be.
Yeah, and from what little I do know about the TPP, it sounds pretty darn creepy, because mm-hmm. in there they set up all kinds of corporate tribunals that they can actually take different countries to court in their corporate court, and they can overrule the democratically determined laws about worker safety issues or environmental safety issues or pollution issues or anything like that. And they can just tell countries that, no, your law is invalid according to our corporate court. So,
right, that's what I've heard too.
So what kind of a world is that? It all seems like all crazy and upside down.
I agree. Well, thanks for talking about it.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling in to Out of the Box. And the phone lines are open, 826-7771. I'd really like to get a conversation going here about the TMT or the TPP. I noticed in some video footage yesterday, one of the people who was arrested, I don't know who it was, but he was trying to explain to the DLNR officers who were arresting him, hey, you know, these big money projects, these corporations that you're working for, that you're arresting me on behalf of, you got to find out more about them. And he tried to break out to one of the officers there what the TPP was and what it would going to do if it gets passed. I've got a caller standing by. Aloha, caller, you're on the air. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Box.
Aloha. I just wanted to mention that I believe the whole Democracy Now! Show this morning was about the TPP and that whole thing. So it's probably on their archive.
And what did you learn? What did you feel were the two most important things?
Oh, it's scary as heck. Just the conversation you guys were just having, you know, about the corporate entities being able to have a court system to rule over government.
What nation are they a part of?
I think it's a UN-backed thing. They were talking about it being an extension of the NAFTA agreements and all of that.
Well, NAFTA, that's the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Yeah.
But that has got nothing to do with the UN. Those are all legal frameworks set up by transnational corporations to make their profitability easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they were saying, looking at how that has operated for 20 years, why would they choose to fast track this whole thing?
Well, because there's been a tremendous negative social dislocation and, you know, very negative consequences from NAFTA.
I agree.
So, all right, well.
Bless us, the people.
Pardon?
I said, bless us, the people.
Well, and thank you for calling in. Is your radio on?
Yes.
Okay, that's getting a little echo there. If you could turn that down.
I have it all the way down. The phone's close to it.
I see.
So I'll hang up now. Mahalo for your show.
All right, thank you very much, caller. Aloha, caller. Are you on the air?
Aloha. I was hoping to talk about the TTP, penis, nigger, Jew, fuck you, asshole.
Yeah, well, you can't really say stuff like that on the air. You have to be respectful, you have to be kind, and you are strongly encouraged not to use language that is so base and coarse. Because if you have a good point to say, which you might, it would be better if you could articulate it in such a way that more people could stand to listen to what you're saying. So I'm going to give you a little chance to come back on. Are you still there, caller? No. Folks, if you've got something to say and you're very passionate about it, take a deep breath and then try and speak calmly and in a grounded fashion. Try and speak in a way that will make it easier for people to hear what you have to say. So, the phone lines are open at 826-7771. So far, we've been talking a little bit about the Kauai Humane Society, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the protectors of Mauna Kea against a large corporate development project. Maybe you think astronomy is a wonderful thing, an incredible thing, and that because it's astronomy, that they should be able to do anything they want. I myself think astronomy is a wonderful thing. Let's see what this next caller has to say. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm calling. I've got two things to say. One, a comment about that guy that just called in. That's so insulting.
Yeah, we don't have to really even say anything about that.
You know, and I hope people like that really don't live on Kauai. I hope that that's just the truth, because I'm Jewish, and that is just really not cultural at all.
Well, you know, I'm Albanian, and I think that kind of language is really atrocious. He didn't mention anything bad about Albanians, but there's just no reason to put people down.
But anyway, and then my second comment, somebody made a comment about 5 minutes ago saying that they should lease the land to the Hawaiians up in Mauna Kea. You know what? That's Hawaiian land. They don't have to pay a lease. They don't need to be, you know, they should just give it back to them. You know, give this property back to the Hawaiians, not lease it back to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think some people might suggest that it's in the same way that you can't own the sky, you can't own a volcano. So, it's not even property. Yeah. Some people would say that it's not even property. You can't give the property back to them because it can't be owned.
Well, actually, it can be owned by the Native Hawaiians. That's their land, not state land. It's not state land. It's not federal land. It's sovereign land. So it belongs to the Hawaiian people. If they don't need to be paying for it, leasing it, you know, they need to be consulted with everything that goes on. That's just the way I feel about it.
Well, I have a lot of respect for that opinion. And and with that kind of a view, it's very curious how people can be arrested for standing on their own land.
Right.
Yeah, they were charged with obstructing. So thank you for calling in, caller. Really appreciate that. Aloha. And we've got another caller standing by. Nope, not there. So the phone lines are open, 826-7771. There's a lot of things to talk about. It's a lot of events going on in the world. Sometimes it seems like there's so much happening that you can't even keep up with it. But the good news is you don't have to, because there's lots of us. So somebody is hopefully keeping up with it, and you just have to have a good relationship with them, and they'll clue you in. We've got another caller standing by. Let's see how many. I'd like to see if I can get a lot of callers on today. Here we go. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Box.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Sweet.
Maybe you could turn your radio down.
I just had to pull over. Here we go. Turning it down.
There you go. And drive safe, yeah?
Yeah, that's why I pulled over.
You're awesome. Thank you.
Okay. You guys are awesome. And, of course, I listen all the time. I'm friends with most of you folks that are DJing all the time, volunteer.
Well, there's a lot of friendly people here at KKCR, so that's believable.
Many, many mahalos. So there's just one thing that I want to see enter the conversation about the telescope.
Please.
My father is a physicist.
Okay.
And my mother is a spiritual psychic.
A spiritual psychic. Wow, I bet you they have interesting conversations.
Well, they divorced by the time I was 5, but my sister and I were left with a great unique view that spans between logic and intuition. And I think that as we make strides to protect the land and to reinterpret our relationship with the land, we all have to realize that we're all reaching a balance between logic and intuition, you know, the mind and the heart. So anyway, that's my general philosophy. But with regards to the telescope, what I really want everyone to start about is the fact that we have telescopes in space.
That's true.
That can see 14 billion light years into the deepest reaches of our universe and the absolute outskirts of our universe. And there is no telescope on Earth that can ever give more information than the space telescopes that we have.
You know what, caller? In some regards, that's accurate, but it's also not true in different ways. The telescopes that are up in space are truly amazing devices, but like the Hubble telescope, as an example, its primary mirror, its dish, it's only about 3.5 feet in diameter. And the reason is because you cannot launch that much stuff. You can't launch entire buildings into orbit. You can build things bigger on the ground than you could ever get into orbit around space. So
yeah, but that doesn't counteract the atmospheric interference. I mean, the Hubble telescope, once they fixed that mirror 20 years ago.
Right. They ground it wrong in the first place.
Yeah, I know. But I still, you know, in terms of my scientific background, and I didn't call in to be certainly not argumentative. But,
No. We're just sharing views.
There's no ground telescope that has delivered clearer pictures than our space telescopes. We also have the stereoscopic telescope, which has given us the 3D pictures of the sun that we never had before.
Yeah, you're talking about, what do they call, that's stereo, A and B.
Yeah, it's two telescopes on either side of the Earth that are taking 3D pictures.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing.
I think that it should be entered. You know, when you talk about Mauna Kea and all this, like, everyone's saying, oh, science, and how that's more important than native sacred ground.
I don't think it is more important. I think it's equally important, and that's why they've got to work together.
Huh. Yeah, okay. So I guess what I'm really asking is, since we have telescopes outside the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
which, to my knowledge, take way clearer pictures than any telescope on Earth, how can we justify digging up native, sacred spots when the telescopes in space take better pictures? It's my understanding that the telescopes in space take better pictures than anything on the ground.
Well, just to share some information with you that I have, about 10 or 15 years ago, they figured out a new technique with the ground-based telescopes called adaptive optics. And okay. what they do is they have little teeny tiny valves, little tiny engines, and they deflect and deform the mirror at thousands of times per second. And what they do with that is they cancel out the distorting effects of the atmosphere. And so with the new generation of large telescopes using adaptive optics, they're able to essentially mathematically eliminate the atmosphere above them. So what they have now are large ground-based telescopes that have the same kind of clarity as if they were in space, but they're much larger facilities, so they can gather tremendously more amounts of light. But that doesn't change the question. I don't think that you asked is why is it how would they justify destroying a sacred place to another culture? And it's not just a Hawaiian issue. I mean, it's an environmental issue. The alpine, high elevation alpine tropical deserts, there's not very much of that on this planet. It's an extremely rare environment, and there are species that live up on top of Mauna Kea that don't live anywhere else in the world. So what you have is, well, how can you justify destroying this space? And the answer is if you want to, and they want to.
Yeah, well, you know, the big picture is that we're watching industrialized society continually minimalizing and marginalizing native cultures that have been here for thousands of years. I think we all agree on that, and I thank you for that information, because it was my understanding that there's no telescope that you could build on Earth that would be more accurate than one that was outside the atmosphere. Of course, science is always trying to progress forward, but we all have to ask ourselves, you know, to what end?
Yeah, at what cost?
How important is this science if it's destroying human cultures? I mean, I certainly didn't call up to argue. I really appreciate the information that you gave me.
No, I'm very happy to share what I have learned, and I'm very happy to learn what others share. So thank you for calling in.
Absolutely. All right. You know, mahalo ke akua to you guys at KKCR. You're always broadcasting the truth, and I love you guys. And I still think that there's a way that we can keep up with science without destroying our own past.
Well, I believe that you are correct, and I certainly support that and wish for that. It's interesting if, you know, people say, oh, if the TMT doesn't get built, it will destroy astronomy. Hey, there's already more than a dozen telescope facilities up there now. And the ones that are there are already the largest in the world. So it's not so black and white. And just because they don't build it there doesn't mean they couldn't build it somewhere else. But let's see what this next caller has to say.
You guys, we already get 13 telescopes up there. No need one more, you know?
Yep.
But, so we got to find a balance to the people, and that's what I called in for.
Well, thank you, caller.
Hello?
Hello, caller. Get aloha. Aloha, first caller. Hello, second caller.
Yeah.
We got you now.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm in favor of the Tanaka Mori, giving them the respect of the mountain. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, they don't have much even left, but. You know, the mountain, it's so important to their culture, and I never thought much about it until the issue came up. And there's Kepler. Isn't there a project out there or a spacecraft called the Kepler?
Yeah, there is. That's
it's way out there. I mean, that thing, the caller before me, I was under the impression that the Kepler was better than anything on Earth because it's gone beyond where the human eyes from this planet has seen. You know?
Yeah, well, that's certainly true. And there are, you know, even if you can sort of optically correct for turbulence in the atmosphere, you still, the atmosphere still creates what's called absorption. You know, there's a certain frequency of light that doesn't penetrate through the atmosphere very well. So in order to get observations in those spectra, you do need to go into space.
Right. Well, the situation also with this trade deal, I've heard a lot of the unions voice opinion against this trade bill because they say that American workers will be lost.
Well,
Barack Obama, who was put in there by Teddy Kennedy, could do something like that. I mean, if he's going to jeopardize more American jobs that are going to go overseas, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's certainly been the very strong long-term trend in this country for the last 40 years. And wages...
And it has to turn around. It has to stop.
Well, I think that would be really a great thing, but the political class doesn't seem to be interested in doing that because, you know, leaders of both parties, you can look at their records. They are each quite consistent in batting 1,000% against the American worker.
I know that, and so many politicians up there in Washington are millionaires now, and so many of them on the gun control. You know, it's gun control and send jobs overseas. It's just not gun control, but allowing guns to be sold, high-powered weapons. Well, they've stopped a lot of that, but they still advocate, and these guns, a lot of them are made overseas. It's not no American workers involved.
It's interesting. On a lot of the social issues like gay marriage or gun rights or you know, sort of the red meat, the things that people get really passionate or inflamed about one way or the other. You see politicians in the Republican and the Democratic Party sort of positioning with each other and finding places to disagree. But on the hardcore economic structural issues about how the pie gets sliced up, a very interesting report just came out. We did an analysis of over 2,000 pieces of legislation, and they were trying to determine, well, you know, how often do the legislatures, how often do they represent people's interests? And they found that the average American, they got their way on a piece of legislation about half the time. And the wealthy elites and the corporate powers, they got their way about two-thirds of the time. But what is interesting is whenever the two parties disagreed with each other, the wealthy elites and corporate power got their way 100% of the time. So the American people sometimes get what they want and sometimes they don't. But they never get what they want when the financial elites decide what they want and it's different. So I thought that was very, very interesting.
That is an interesting fact. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. This program is great. My name is Joe, and have a good day.
All right. Aloha, and thanks for calling in. You are listening to Out of the Box on Kauai Community Radio. We've got callers standing by, but I'm going to catch up on a little bit of station business. For example, telling you that you're listening to KKCR Hanalea, KAQA Kilauea, coming at you live on the FM dial here at 90.9, 91.9, 92.7, 95.1 on cable, 104.7 over on Oahu. And then I think, let's see, I'm going to go like this. Have a couple. This is an important thing to play.
KKCR Hanalea, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
That's called a legal ID, and we need to do that in order to maintain our license to broadcast for you, the community, which we're so terribly pleased to do. And I want to thank you for listening, for people who've called in today. And also I want to thank the people who we on our pledge drive a couple of weeks last month, who called in and made donations to the station. It's people like you who really helped this whole mission move forward, and I want to thank you for investing in community building. Also, I want to send out a thank you to Hawaii Life and the Tahiti Nui, because it's because of support just like that that we're able to continue providing public affairs, community affairs, and all of the great music shows that you hear. Virtually every single person who comes up to the station here is a volunteer. We have a couple of employees. They do an amazing job. If you want to volunteer here at KKCR, the sky's the limit. I certainly could use somebody to come in and help me answer the phones. But I want to thank Hawaii Life and the Tahiti Nui.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. If you want to help support Kauai Community Radio, you don't have to wait until our next pledge drive. You can go to kkcr.org and click on the donate button. And anything you do will just further our success. We've got a caller who've been standing by. I want to get them up on the air. Thank you for being so patient. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Jonathan. How's it going?
Pretty well. Is this Mr. Raymond?
Yeah, I got a couple things to say. Would I be able to express them?
Do you want me to interrupt you, or do you want me to just let you have your way?
Well, you know what to do.
Yeah,
okay.
Shut up and listen, first, yeah?
Yeah. I'm not calling to school you, Jonathan. Okay, the first thing is that science for who? What class is it serving? Is it serving a small group of investors, you know, and a few scientists who are going to be making a whole load of money? Or is it, you know, serving the great majority of the people, the 99%, that would be the Kanaka Maoli and the rest of the population? That's the first question.
Do you want me to answer that? Or?
Yeah, go ahead. You can answer
that. Sure. I did a little research on that, so I think it's a really good question. The project's supposed to cost about $1.5 billion.
Okay.
And the lease is set to expire at 2033, which is 17, 18 years from now. The viewing time is so precious on these instruments that they could charge somewhere between $500 and $800 million a night for, you know, the 7, 8, 9 hours of viewing in total darkness. So that means that if they sold all that time, they could actually pay for the entire project in less than 10 years. So I don't think they're going to sell it all because they just want to try and look at a bunch of the stuff themselves. But they certainly, and you know, I just want to say a lot of times this is sort of framed as like astronomers versus Hawaiians. Well, that's not accurate because astronomers are not the ones who are building this facility. These are our administrators and bureaucrats and stuff. These are big money. These are large scale financial institutions. These are not like astronomers who like to look at the stars. They're not the ones who are calling the shots. They would like to look through the telescope, but you know, they're not the ones making the decisions.
Well, there's going to be people making money from this. That's the ones that are behind this project to begin with. You know, so what class interest is it serving? It's serving a small group of people. And then secondly, I want to congratulate the protectors up there in the mountain for their diversity of tactics. Very difficult, very stressful situation. There are, you know, seasoned activists up there, but there are also a lot of young people with good hearts and good minds, and they're learning as they go. I was very proud of them when they put the pohaku in the middle of the road.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting because...
Tim Hurley from the Star Advertiser, you know, called it an antic. It's not an antic.
No.
It's a tactic that's based on civil disobedience.
And culturally based. Because they were taking the pohaku...
Right.
And the pohaku itself was standing in the way. The mountain was defending itself.
So when they asked some of these people, some of the main organizers, you know, they said, well, the mountain is responsible for it. And it was. That was the way of using the mountain's guidance and protecting protecting Mauna Kea. Now, the other thing is that, like, other indigenous cultures have used the same tactic, like in Bolivia. The indigenous groups there have stopped mining corporations and companies from digging up the earth and digging up their mountains by doing the same thing, by putting boulders in the middle of the road as well, you know. So, you know, it's a tactic that's been employed by other people as well. So I congratulate them on this. It's a very, very difficult struggle. Just like here on Kauai, we took to the harbor, right, you know, to stop the super ferry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually a pretty good analogy because you have this big thing that wants to come through, and they gotta pass you. And if you don't get out of the way, then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, what it does too is to buy us time, which forces the system to change its mind or to back off. And there was that gave us some time for it to go to court here in the on Kauai, and eventually we beat them there. But by people, you know, directly. You know, going in front of the ship as it was coming in, that was very important. And what they did on the Big Island in Mauna Kea by putting the pohaku in the road, I thought that was really ingenious, and I applaud them for that. Very, very good tactic.
Yeah, but I think even, I don't know, more important, but also important is this kapu aloha, sacred love, and a commitment to treat yourself and others in the highest of compassion, in the highest of respect.
Yeah. That's the overall strategy. But you know,
it's brilliant.
It's brilliant. But there are tactics that are involved to carry it out, and they've been doing it, you know, standing in a way, getting arrested, blockading the trucks from coming up and the rocks, you know, and going worldwide and spreading the message. So I applaud them for their tactics. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, it's very, very difficult. And
I think it's easy to get pulled out of your center. It's easy to become angry. It's easy to become mad. It's easy to get reactive and hostile. And then you lose.
Well, you know, like, for example, if you read any of the comments that are coming out, you know, defending the TNT, in particular from guys like Ken Conklin and others.
Oh, that guy, he's just
real racist stuff like
that. Yeah, like he's terrible.
Yeah. Well, he said that building the Ahu was like a dog, you know, peeing around the bushes to, you know, leaving its scent to protect its territory. That's what more or less he was saying.
You know what, caller?
Yeah.
I wish you wouldn't bring garbage like that on the air.
Well, but I'm just bringing it up because it was in the newspaper, so...
That's terrible.
It was printed, and people should understand that. And so, you know, but what I'm trying... The point I'm trying to make, in light of statements like that, they've been holding their cool, you know?
Yes.
Carrying things out. That's the point that I'm trying to make. And I brought it up because it was already printed, you know? And it was printed in a supposed legitimate paper, you know, which is the Hawaii Tribune Herald.
So, yeah, well, that guy, he's just trying to bait people. He's a troll.
Yeah, he is a troll.
Straight-up troll.
Right, but there are a lot of them in Hawaii who think like that. He's just one of them, you know. But there are many of them that think like that. You can see them in the Garden Island as well when they respond to these kinds of things.
Oh, I never go to the comment section in the Garden Island. There's nothing but the most rancid and foul commentary in there.
It's important to read everything that comes out.
Then you're a braver man than I, because I don't have the stomach for that.
I listen to a lot of people, what they got to say. But anyway, Jonathan, thank you for giving me the time and, you know, having me express my opinion. And keep up the good work, and I'll go back to listening what other people have to say.
All right. Thank you very much. We've got another caller patiently standing by. Aloha, caller. Thank you for waiting.
Hello, I'm Charlie Brown.
Aloha, Charlie Brown.
Okay, I'm worried about the TPCC or whatever it is.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership?
Yeah. Oops, I'll turn off my radio feedback.
What bothers you the most about the corporatopia they're trying to create?
The secrecy and the kind of attitude that it as an entity exists instead of people getting together in any way that they choose to do what they want to do without it being necessarily in a corporate format. I mean, whether we could sit in a hut and have a sewing circle or a desktop chip printing machine or different things in the corporate structure, and just buy and sell among ourselves, simplify the whole thing. And that brings you to my own concern is with my invention, and I don't like the intellectual property, that it might be kind of the status quo intellectual property and making money by monopolies when I want my invention of cheap energy to... go out to the world without legal encumbrances.
So I've been listening to KKCR for about a dozen years, and I remember, you know, over 10 years ago, listening to you call in to Carlos, was the host at that time, and he would talk about your, it's very, very, very tiny. Yeah, this is like nanoscale technology?
Yes.
And it has to do with the very slight difference in temperature at the what do you call that? Super teeny tiny. What is that? At the quantum level?
Well, not quite that small. Just atomic. Even the near classical atomic level. But anyway, it's. I don't really have to go into the inside the black box details, but this would be machines on any size from small enough to just keep a memory in a chip alive to industrial equipment that would absorb heat from the background air and turn into electricity, and then in your use of this electricity, it turns back into heat, but that's behind the exhaust pipe, and that shouldn't be important to anybody. It just rebalances the atmosphere and everything.
Right.
Or you could have refrigerators.
Yeah, you could run it both ways.
Electricity. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but my question is, I'm not a physicist, but I've listened to you explain it before in the past. It sounds pretty straightforward. It sounds like it's really just a technical manufacturing issue.
Uh-huh.
So where are we with that? We're 10 years later. What's changed?
There are people in the field making progress, but we are surrounded by this intense belief in the second law of thermodynamics, that heat can only go from hot things to cold. And if you want to make electricity or something, you have to burn fuel to make heat in a local boiler. And that's the only way to turn heat into electricity instead of just taking it out of the atmosphere. And so you have to have this whole supply chain of fuel and trucking and piping and everything for that, when you could just, with no thermodynamic second law in the way, go back to the first law, which is that energy is not created or destroyed, but just changes form. So here we have heat on our beaches, in our oceans, in our air, and we absorb it and turn it into electricity and make the cycle of use so much simpler and elegant and balanced.
Sure. Well, as I understand it, any time you have a difference in temperature between two things, you have the opportunity to Yeah. So my question is, I've been listening to you on and off talk about this for at least 10 years, and it sounded great to me when I first heard about it, and it still does. What are the actual barriers to you moving forward with it? Do we have the technical ability to manufacture things that will exhibit the properties that you are seeing, or is it that's still outside of our reach?
I guess the two bits of progress I could point out to is the prime experimenter in China found that two materials of different work function just means the ability of electrons to leave the interior of a metal and go off into space, the energy it takes to knock the electron out of the metal. He found, well, first you need a very low work function material, so heat is enough to boil some electrons out of the materials.
And so what are the magic materials? Is it like ruthenium or some rare earth metal, actinium? What is it?
Well, one of them, he likes using cesium dope silver oxide.
Oh, I love cesium dope silver oxide. That's my favorite one, actually.
But he found he could make... At first, he didn't believe he could have this low work function material work against another material. That would be the easiest way to... But he found out that if he had a similar material, and he used molybdenum oxide...
I love molybdenum oxide. That's my second favorite one.
Yeah, so it's the second most electron emissive material. And he found that would work, and it would make... absorbing heat and turning into electricity output at ambient temperature. So he did succeed. It's just that it has a very low scale, but it's progress.
So who is this person, and where is he, and do you have his phone number? Are you guys on good... Do you guys have lunch with each other once a week? Or
no, he's in China, the Jiangsu University in Shanghai. But there's another way. My way is to get... you can make a array of carbon nano needles, all pointing out from the surface that it's grown on, and that'll knock electrons into space too from heat.
So this is kind of what I recall you explaining earlier. An array of carbon nano tubes.
Yeah.
So. But you can't go into your carport in Hanalei and like mix up a batch of nanotubes.
No, there are people that do that. They want a doable hurdle of $35,000. You like can't. So I just have to whine about it and they get more people with me and things like that.
Well, the whining is no good, but maybe you could go to, like, GoFundMe.
Yeah, is that similar to...
It's one of those magic places on the internet where money is supposed to come to you.
Yeah, okay. I guess if there's several, I won't have to worry about making or breaking on the first one then, because I'm trying to remember the name of the second one. Igo or something like that.
I would put it into a search engine, and I would say, show me the money, free money, internet, fund me, and then hit return and see if you get like 1.2 million hits. But I personally would love to see you actually take your fantastic idea and turn it into something that can put KIUC out of business. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it would be cheap for your transmitter.
No, I think a nice clean source of energy that was broadly distributable at a low scale would meet a lot of needs, and I think it would it could be very helpful. So I'm wishing you the best of luck, and I'm hoping that you can continue to make pragmatic, concrete progress.
Okay, thanks, and I hope you can get rid of these secretive corporatocracy things and maybe put the telescopes in space and other things like that.
All right, well, those are good thoughts.
Thank you. Sure.
Thank you for listening to Out of the Box. Thank you for sharing your evening here, tuned in to KKCR, the station that loves you. We've got a lot of people calling in. Thanks again for sharing your ears, your time, your heart, your thoughts. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Aloha. What are we talking about?
Well, we've talked about a number of things today. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, the secret corporate plan to rule the world, the TMT, the 30-meter telescope, but their not-so-secret plan to desecrate the summit of Mauna Kea. We talked about the Kauai Inhumane Society, and that reminds me that I want to send this message out. Catherine has lost her dog. The dog's name is Laka. It's white with black spots. It's a puppy, a little bit less than a year old, and this is up in Kilauea Town. Her number is 639-8744. She really wants to see her black and white puppy, Laka, again. So if you have seen her, please do give Catherine a call. 639-8744. Thanks for calling into Out of the Box. What's on your heart and mind?
Well, if somebody lost their dog, I know another guy who lost his dog, but somebody sold it. You guys talk about that today?
No.
No. It's blasted all over social media.
Oh.
I don't know.
Did you hear about it? Tell the story.
No. I guess a guy lost his dog, didn't get it back, and people got it, sold it.
Is that right? That's low.
That's pretty bad, huh?
Was that here on Kauai, or was that in Nebraska or somewhere?
No, that's here on Kauai.
Huh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I guess if everybody knows about it, the owner probably got their dog back, though, yeah?
Not yet.
Huh.
Kind of a weird deal.
It is kind of a weird deal. Well, what did you want to talk about this afternoon?
Nothing. I was kind of laughing. I'm here at work, and I heard that guy talking about whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said something about whipping up nanotubes back in your house in Princeville, and I'm just busting up because, you know, I make nanotubes over in Wailua. So,
oh, well, I think you can do it in Wailua, but I don't think that they've got nanotubes down on the North Shore yet.
Yeah, yeah. So I was wondering what your show was about. I just wanted to call in and have a laugh, you know.
So are you over in Wailua making nanotubes?
No. I'm fixing a car in Papa right now.
Oh, okay. Like Bondo?
No.
Not bodywork?
No.
All right. Well, you know, Out of the Box, people can call in and talk about whatever they like. We're trying to stay in touch with events happening on Mauna Kea. I don't know if you're very familiar with that.
I'm trying to stay away from it. You know, it's so controversial. You know, if I said the wrong thing to my friends, I'd probably get beaten up. You know what I mean?
Maybe you need new friends.
That's what it is.
Well, I don't think it's very controversial. What I think is that people have really unexamined ideas, and they're not willing to listen to other people who have different ideas. Because if we would all just like set our egos down and try and understand where other people are coming from, I have great confidence we could work out most anything.
that's a good attitude to have.
Well, thanks for calling in. The phone line here is 826-7771. I want to wish you a big mahalo for calling in and the best of luck in working on your car. The phone lines are open, so please do call in. This is out of the box. Jonathan Jay, your host. Someone's calling me on my actual phone. Let's see. Do I want to answer this? Hey, I'm in the middle of a radio show. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Can you hear me, caller? No, I didn't think that was going to work. And so don't call me on the phone. I'm trying to do a radio show. Folks, this is Out of the Box on Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. There's a lot of things going on in the world, on the island, in the archipelago, out in space, in your garage. And here on Kauai Community Radio, we have an opportunity to use the airwaves of our community to discuss the things that are important to you. Phone lines are open, 826-7771. Got a call coming in right now. Going to go straight to it. Aloha, caller. Thanks for calling in to Out of the Box.
Going straight to the call, daring man, Jonathan Jay.
That's how I roll.
I know. You got a reputation to uphold.
Yeah, or not.
Well, it didn't say which way the reputation went.
True.
Hi, Jonathan, Rick C. here. Hey, just checking in. I'm enjoying the show, and I wanted to ask a question that I've wondered about. I see that, you know, that the 30-mile telescope is being put together by University of California.
Yeah, University of California, Caltech.
And Caltech, right.
Canada, Japan, India, and China. So it's an international consortium of funders.
Well, now are they funders? Because I'd understood that it was based and started by the University of California and Caltech, and that they had interest and parts being supplied by some foreign countries, which would be exchanged for time that they could use it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very complex arrangement. I know that Canada just put up $250 million. So let's see, that's like about a sixth of the financing that they need for that.
So,
but there's all the technological manufacturing, all the engineering.
Yeah.
This is, you know, big science.
But my thinking is, have the protectors and people who have the same interest in protecting Mauna Kea, have they gotten a hold of University California? Have they talked about trying to, you know, boycotts or anything like that? Because it seems to me, you know, in reading about this in the paper, and I haven't done in-depth reading, but that they chose Mauna Kea over a mountain in Chile.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so why don't they just go back to Plan B and put it in Chile? Why can't we put some pressure on them? So they lose their foundation plans. I mean, they haven't shipped any equipment. The equipment could be easily shipped to Chile, you know?
Yeah, I think you raise a good point. I think that's what a lot of the people who care passionately about Mauna Kea, I think that's pretty similar to what they're saying.
Yeah, I'm wondering, are there contacts with the, you know, with California, with the university, with Caltech? And
well, I know that Caltech has an existing facility on top of
mm-hmm.
Mauna Kea. I think it's the submillimeter array. I may not be exactly correct on that, but Governor Ige suggested last month that before the TMT goes up, that maybe they should take down their existing facility. If the TMT is such an amazing telescope that it can do things that the existing telescopes can't do, then get those other ones out of there and restore the sites, and then we can have a conversation about whether or not something else should go in its place.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm wondering if the protectors and people who have the interest to not see it happen or have thought about doing a tour of University of California campuses to speak to the students, and here we are edging into just summer probably, but, you know, to get out and speak to the students or to get in touch with the students to mobilize the California students to put pressure on the university, just like, you know, the same type of model has happened with divestment movements.
Well, I think that's a really good idea, and I suspect, I mean, I'm not, like, involved in the planning and the organization and stuff, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of that is already happening. I know that when the I Am Mauna Kea or We Are Mauna Kea, when that first started going viral around the world, there were protests and stand-ins and events all over the country and all over the world. I know that there were protest actions in California. So it's not like they're unaware. It's not like they don't have the internet and they can't, you know, read the headlines on the wall.
Yeah, it just matter of whether the students are, you know, particularly UC students are being educated and motivated, you know, in a lot of way activists, you know, have done since back Mississippi summer and things like that in this country. Anyway, that's just the idea I'm throwing out there.
No, that seems like a good one.
And see if somebody can pick up on that or try that angle too, because I think it has worked. When you see boycotting South Africa and things like that, it really came up through a lot of divestment from universities. And so I want to throw that idea out, compliment you on your show again. Always good to hear you, Jonathan, and I'll be listening on the air.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
And I'm not sure, we maybe have, is there another caller here standing by? Our Aloha caller, can you hear me? And that would be a no. One of the reasons why the TMT Corporation wants to build their telescope in Hawaii is because it's the best place in the world to look at the stars from. The conditions on top of Mauna Kea are, the air mass is more stable, it's more calm, the air is drier. At 14,000 feet elevation, you're above 40% of the atmosphere, so you're looking through a lot less. And that means the adaptive optics don't have to work as hard to get as clear of an image. And then because the volcanoes here are on near the equator, you can see all of the northern hemisphere and like 80% of the southern hemisphere. If you had your gigantic monster telescope down in Chile, you wouldn't be able to look at any of the stars in the northern hemisphere. So Mauna Kea pretty much is the front row seat to gazing into the heavens. And the funny thing is, the Hawaiians knew that 1,000 years ago, using the stars to navigate with no instruments, just like knowing where they were and seeing where they were rising on the horizon, they were able to navigate across thousands of miles of open ocean, but not just with astronomical observation, also with the wind and the waves and the currents and the swells and the birds and the animals in the ocean and the clouds. All these conditions the early Polynesian navigators were very astute observers of, and they didn't need 30-meter telescopes to find Hawaii. You know, more than 1,000 years ago, almost 2,000 years ago, when the Polynesians were spreading across the entire Pacific, Europeans were they were crawling along the shores, afraid to get out of sight of land. So I don't know about how, you know, other people go about their way in the world, but when I come to a place that is new to me, I like to talk to the people who know about the place, who learned about that place, who've been in that place for a long time and know it inside and out. And if I'm respectful, and if I listen, and if I don't interrupt like I sometimes do, people will tell you things, and you'll learn. And I like to learn from the people who know it the best. So if you want to come to Hawaii and study the heavens, it makes really good sense to me to talk to the people who've been here for more than 1,000 years doing exactly that, because they might have a whole different way of understanding what astronomy is. They might have a whole different way of looking at things. You know, Western science is only one kind of science. How much could we all benefit from learning more about Polynesian science or Hawaiian science? You know, Hawaiian people are very scientific people. If by science you mean keen observers of natural phenomena from which they derive patterns of understanding and knowledge about the universe. Maybe building gigantic high-tech machines is not the only way to connect with the universe. Maybe you don't need all of that technology. Maybe you should invent a telescope that can explore the human heart, you know, the vast interiors of our own personal universe. You have astronomers who are looking 15 billion light years away to try and find a planet somewhere capable of sustaining life, but we're already standing on it, and all they need to do is pull their eye out of the telescope and look down on the ground and recognize that they themselves are what they're looking for, and that we're already all here. We don't need to find another planet. We already have one. All we have to do is not destroy it. So, that's 2 cents from me. But hey, that's just what I think. I'm a lot more interested in what you think. 826-7771. And I don't care also just only about what you think. I want to know what you feel and what your life experience is based on that brings you to that understanding. A couple of years ago, and I'm getting better at it, but I began to learn how to stop arguing with people and just listen to what you have to say, because you know things that I don't. And if I shut up and listen, I just might learn. Got a caller here. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thanks for calling into Out of the Box on Kauai Community Radio.
Oh, you're so welcome, Jonathan. Hey, it's Victoria. I called you last week to say it was constructive criticism telling you to hush and be quiet and let people speak. And I felt bad about that, but you have made amazing progress. You're such a good DJ, and I love your show. And maybe you took what I said into consideration, because you're not talking over people anymore, as I've noticed. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I thank you for that, because you have put on such amazing shows and put out so much good info to people.
Do you want me to give you that $10 that I promised you after the show last week?
No, I thought it was 20.
Oh, listen, oh, sorry, Auntie.
Yeah, no worries. On one other note, back to the Kauai Humane Society, I have a quick little story, because I'm concerned about the people that are left in charge there now, because they've cut Manny and Brandy, who were really two wonderful employees. I had a dog that was lost, and the Kauai Humane Society picked them up, and he was chipped and had a phone number. And they called me to tell me that they had him. Well, I'm a landscaper and was on the very, very far north shore working a job and couldn't get over there for 3 days. But they're supposed to hold a dog, I believe, for 7 days if it's found and has an owner. And by the time I got back to the Humane Society 3 days later, they informed me that they had found another home for it.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank God. I thought you were going to tell me that they had disposed of the remains of the dog that they had euthanized.
In my mind, I lost the dog. Whether it be euthanized, killed, or given away, within 3 days, my dog was gone out of my life. And I'd had that dog for 7 years. And there was nothing I could do. I said, call up those people. I never gave you permission to do that. And so, I mean, that's just another one of the stories that has gone on there, and it just is really important to me that Penny is accountable for things that are going on there now, because we need it to get better, and we need to be able to trust in that business, you know? I've got a couple kitties right now that need to be spayed, whatever it is. But I'm not going to bring them there because I'm worried I'm not going to get my cats back. So I'm just hoping that the right people will continue to stand up and let's make Penny and the rest of the folks that are still there accountable and make it a better place so we can restore faith in that place that's so important to our island.
Well, I think those are really well-considered words, and I just want to observe that when you have problems like this, so it's so easy to get distracted with personal things like, oh, Penny did this and Penny did that and da-da-da-da. And then, you know, she just will dig her heels in, and then the problem will endure. So it's really wonderful when folks can just say, look, this is not a personal thing. It's a policy thing. We need to change these policies and get to some sort of better place. And so I wish everybody over at the Kauai Humane Society, including Penny, I wish everybody the best of luck in coming to a better place, because the animals deserve it.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I have a lot of animals, and I rely sometimes on that function for them, and to not have trust in them right now is not a good thing, you know, because our little island has very few special places to go to protect animals, and let's just work on restoring the faith, and maybe not stomping on Penny so much. You know, maybe we could have a little bit more. I don't know. It seems like
I've never met her. I don't know anything about her whatsoever.
I haven't met her. I've spoken on the phone with her. I haven't met her face to face, but she is the one in the major position right now. So maybe a little less stomping and a little, you know, let's stand beside her and see what we can do to help to make it better. You know, there are volunteers there, just like at KKZR. Maybe a few more of us can step up and say, hey, I'll clean some pens. I'll do whatever it takes to restore the faith so that we're all feeling good about the Kauai Humane Society and not crappy about it. I want to feel good about them, and I think that we can with a little work.
Well, that's a very hopeful and helpful attitude.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, you bet. Have a good afternoon.
All right, aloha. You are listening to Out of the Box. I'm Jonathan Jay, your host for this afternoon. Got the folks coming in right now, getting ready for the next show. Thomas, are you going to be filling in here? Going to do it in Evolve? Wow. All right. Well, that's going to be pretty amazing. And then after Thomas is Slim. I see Slim. He's hooking up some boxcars to his mystery train. So stick around for that. This is going to be an amazing night of music. I always loved Dove's show. And I have no idea what to expect with Thomas doing Dove's show. It's going to be amazing. We've got time for a few more callers. So thanks for the folks who are called in and are standing by. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, John, I also agree that you are doing very well and improving all the time and have an excellent show. Thank you very much. And I just had a comment regarding the last call. Why couldn't that lady just describe her pet and give the dates of what happened, and maybe the people who bought it or adopted it from the Humane Society could work out a deal with her? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. You know, in internet theory, you know, when information packets are trying to go from point A to point B, if one of the nodes is damaged and it's not sending the messages on, you just go around it. And I guess that's what you're suggesting here.
It may not, but at least you would give the people who adopted the dog a chance to set things right, and, you know, maybe it could all work out, and I don't know if it would be money exchange or whatever, but, you know, it was a possibility anyway. And thank you again so much, and my heart's out with the people trying to defend Mauna Kea, and I see both sides of the issue being kind of science-based myself, but, you know, the Hawaiians have gotten the short end of the stick in almost every deal and every issue that's come up, and no, we just need to stand up for them. White, brown, doesn't matter what color we are. We need to be supporting the preservation of Mauna Kea for whatever reason. And I don't really, I guess maybe I am a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, who knows? Is this scope connected with the HARP system and geoengineering and other stuff? Is it really legitimate? And 28 stories, does it really need to be that big?
Oh, no, it's only 18 stories.
Oh.
Yeah, but 18 above the ground and 2 below the ground. So that's 20 stories. But you know what's crazy? It's a conservation district, and if it were built, it would be the tallest building on the island. It'd be like a skyscraper on top of a volcano in a conservation district. Taller than any other hotel on the island. It's crazy.
Don't they have the no building taller than a coconut tree, like kind of thing over there too? Or is that
I believe they do, but somehow when you have 1.4 billion reasons why your project is so shiny and nice, you get a free pass.
Ain't that true? The best politicians money can buy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for the show. I appreciate it. Well,
sure. Thank you for calling in. And I think we got another caller. Aloha, caller. Are you there? Can you hear me, caller? How about now? Can you hear me, caller? All right, folks, the phone lines are open, 826-7771. We got just a few minutes left. I wanted to read this here. This is about the crime of obstruction. This is HSR 711-1105, obstructing, Hawaii revised statutes. Obstructing, a person commits the offense of obstructing if, having no legal privilege to do so, the person knowingly or recklessly obstructs any highway or public passage, whether alone or with others. To me, the thing that's interesting there is the having no legal privilege to do so. And I think that Kanaka Maoli have the legal privilege to engage in customary and traditional activities in locations of their sacred places. So it goes on to say that a person is not guilty of violating this solely because persons gather to hear that person speak or because the person is a member of such a gathering. The previous Hawaii law treated obstruction as a part of disorderly conduct, but that prior statute did not correctly identify and protect our rights to free speech and free communication. So that's why the HRS 711-1105 was rewritten to address the aggressive defense of free speech that the Constitution of the U.S. Is supposed to guarantee. Now, a lot of the protectors on the Mauna have raised the legal question of, does the U.S. Constitution apply on these lands? And the historical record is fairly clear that there was never a internationally legal annexation of these territories, and that the referendum and the votes in 59 did not meet international legal muster. And so the U.S. has been illegally occupying these lands for almost 100 years. Over 100 years, actually, because, yeah, that was 1897. And, yeah. So you can check it out. You can look at the work of international law and legal scholar Keanu Sai. Very interesting stuff about the illegal annexation and the illegal occupation of the U.S. In the Hawaiian Islands. And he is able to very clearly articulate that the sovereignty of the independent nation of Hawaii was never legally terminated, and it still exists. So that's something that we've talked about before here on Out of the Box, and it's something that we can talk about again in the future. I want to thank you for tuning in to Out of the Box and calling in to the line here, the phone lines, your community radio station, and sharing what's on your heart and what's on your mind. I'm going to go out with Metric, the acoustic version of their Beating Like a Hammer song. This is sort of a little bit of a tribute on my part to the original founder of this show. Dave Giroux took over for Michael Van Devere after he passed away. But if you've been listening to KKCR for a while, you will recall that he always used to ask people what's on your mind, but also what's on your heart. And I think that, as one of the callers raised earlier in the show today, there's a difference between the mind and the heart, and we'd all be better people if we could figure out how to balance those two things together. So someone told me recently that nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So I want to thank you for tuning in to Out of the Box. And coming up soon, in a couple minutes, we're going to have Thomas filling in for Evolve. Should be an amazing show. So thanks so much for tuning in. And enjoy. Aloha. Ahuiho.